Jesus Anist. I think I'm Deacon Versa for today. Today's gospel is about belief and faith. In the beginning of the gospel, our Lord says, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And at the time of when this gospel or when this encounter took place, our Lord was speaking about his coming death on the cross and his removal from their lives, from their presence. Of course, for us now, during the 50 days, the message also is about the end of the 50 days, the ascension of the Lord when he is removed from our midst and his appearances on earth cease. And so he's telling us as well, while you have the light, that is Christ, the light of the world, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And that is contrasted later on with the words of Isaiah the prophet, where he speaks about the people of Israel, and he says, therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said, again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart, lest they should turn so that I should heal them. And it always raises the question when we read this passage, how can God harden somebody's heart? As it says in the book of Exodus, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And how does that make sense? Because it may sound as if having not hardened somebody's heart, this person would have been saved. But this simply means that he left them or Pharaoh or whoever it is up to their own devices because they were already blind. And he left them to exercise their free will. And by doing so, losing the chance of seeing him and therefore believing in him. Later on in the gospel, we realize that there are multiple personalities that are being presented here. There are the people of Israel that Christ is speaking to, and those did not believe, although they saw many signs. It says, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. And Christ did so many wonderful signs, different and more powerful than any in the Old Testament that have ever been written about in the Old Testament. And then besides the people of Israel that Isaiah speaks about that did not believe and hardened their hearts, there are also the rulers that are mentioned later on who, although they did believe, they didn't confess. They didn't take it to the next level where their belief became practical and dynamic and live, and not just an idea in their mind. And of course, there is also Isaiah himself. And after quoting Isaiah, the gospel says, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. There's a play on words in Greek because the verb for seeing and the verb for believing are very similar, very almost identical. And so seeing and believing are two very close things. So we can also read it as these things Isaiah said when he believed his glory and spoke of him. It's the same thing. And so there are these different personalities, and we have to subject ourselves to this comparison. Who are we in this gospel? Are we the people that are not believing, although seeing signs? Or are we the people that Isaiah is speaking about who hardened their hearts? Or are we the people that the rulers who saw, believed, but did not confess? Or are we Isaiah himself who saw, believed, and spoke of the glory of God? So you might ask yourself today, well, what does that have to do with me? I, of course, believe in the resurrection. You know, I saw enough Jesus movies. I've been to Sunday school, told this story every single year. I even come to church on Easter and say Christos Anesti about 101 times. But of course, as we know with everything else, knowing a fact is not the same as believing. As having faith in that reality and living it, confessing it, as it says in the gospel. I think a big problem when it comes to speaking about belief is that we think that belief and knowledge are the same thing. Knowing a fact and believing it sound almost like the same thing. But whenever we speak about belief when it comes to Christ, it is an active, dynamic belief. And it's something that requires a response from us, not just understanding it. Abuna was speaking last week when he was presenting the icon, the fact that anybody can understand a concept, any idea, He mentioned something called Avogadro's number, which I don't even know what that is. Knowing something, a concept, is not the same as living it and experiencing it. And that's what this gospel is about. And so again, you might ask yourself, if this is about the resurrection and it's talking about belief, and we had other gospels like that in this period as well. You know, the first Sunday of the 50 days was Thomas Sunday, where it's also about belief. When Thomas said, unless I put my finger in his side and touch the prints of the nails, I will not believe. And then we have after that the Samaritan woman, the long dialogue with the Samaritan woman that led to her belief and her conversion. But what does it have to do with me? Well, there are a lot of ways we can speak about this belief in our own lives. And although we know that Christ is risen from the dead, we do deny his resurrection time and again. There are many ways we can address this from, but I want to just pick one aspect or one way in which we do that, and that is the loss of joy that comes. The loss of the joy of the resurrection that comes. And I think this is an appropriate message for me to hear, and perhaps for many of you as well. I'm not the best in math, but I think by now we are 33% to the square root of 4 done with 50 days. But this is an important message to hear, because we are in the middle of the 50 days, and it's always good to be reminded again of what it means to be joyful at Christ's resurrection, because this is an important part of what it means to have faith in Christ's resurrection, to continue that sense of joy. You know, that one of the hardest things for me personally, perhaps for some of you as well, is to go back to real life Monday morning after Easter. Church is not supposed to be an escape from real life, but I can't help it. Church is awesome. And so, you know, going through Holy Week, and then by Thursday morning, I'm pretty much the whole time in church. If I'm not in church, I'm either trying to have some bite of food or I'm sleeping. Thursday morning, Thursday night, Great Friday, Friday night, and then finally, the big moment in the resurrection, the moment we've all been waiting for, you know, Saturday night. And I'm not talking about the big bowl of feta sitting in the kitchen. I'm talking about the moment of Easter, when the curtain is drawn and the light is darkened, and we are singing Christ is risen, and then some anonymous deacon standing in the middle here, yours truly, saying, be lifted up, ye everlasting gates, and let the King of glory enter in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in war, Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. At that moment, something happens. Symbols are hit, I guess, what do we call it? Lights come on. Everything pops. And if everyone remembers to open the curtain at the right time, the curtain opens. But something happens, and it's not just ritual, and it's not just sound and light and hymns, but something happens inside of us. And from the depths of our weakness, from the depths of our sin, and from the depths of our daily troubles, we realize that, or we are reminded every year, that we transcend all of these with Christ's resurrection. That he grabs us like he does in this icon, where the people that are being raised from the dead are not even holding on to Christ by the hand. He is grabbing their wrists. They're that weak. They're that dead. And he's raising them. And that's us. And that's the moment of resurrection that we experience. And then after liturgy, everybody's happy, and everybody's Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, and rejoicing and seeing the kids run around. And then what happens? Come Monday morning, you realize what? All your daily problems that you left behind on Wednesday or Thursday when you left work are still there. People that are sick with serious diseases are still sick. People that have problems at home still have these same problems. They just put them on hold. People that are estranged from one another sometimes don't reconcile and are still estranged from one another after Easter. Children that seem to be growing ever rebellious day after day are still ever more rebellious day after day. And quickly we get back to the same routine. And it's as if it's one feast that has gone and moved on, and we lived it, but we didn't live it after that. And so that's one way that we deny, or that we do not have true and abiding belief in God's resurrection, when we allow life to enter in and temper our joy and hinder us from fully embracing the joy that is Christ's resurrection. And so today, when we kind of think of it this way, it would be good for us to ask ourselves, what does it mean for me to experience Christ's resurrection and His joy? Ask yourself this question. What is His joy to me? And am I maintaining it and cultivating it? Or am I allowing it to be buried under sufferings and daily experience and daily life? And if that's the case, then Easter was simply just lights on, symbols, hymns, gone. And that's it. But if it is something that is abiding in you and that is allowing you to experience life in a whole new perspective, then this is true belief and true faith in Christ's resurrection and not something temporary and ephemeral. Now, how do we do this? How do we maintain this Christ's joy in His resurrection despite all of these problems and all these daily experiences that we go through? I think this is something that will be different for each person. And I think this is something that you have to take up with your father at confession and ask him this if you truly feel that this is a problem and that this is something that you experience. You thought you were going to come for answers, but I don't have any answers. But I will leave you with this thought. In the epistle of St. Paul that we read today from his second epistle to the Thessalonians, he says, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the glory that he's talking about. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught. Stand fast, hold the traditions. Perhaps one way we can maintain our joy in Christ's resurrection and maintain our focus is not to lose whatever it is that we gained through our fasting. Perhaps that's one way. If you've learned a new virtue, if you've gotten rid of a single passion in your life, if you've made one bit of progress, don't let it slip through your open hands that are quick to grasp everything that is placed at your table. Go back to that. Go back and re-access that power and that grace that you were given during the fast. Whatever it is that you acquired, whatever it is that you learned to do, that may be the key to living continually in Christ's joy and Christ's resurrection. And so I leave you with this message today, and it is up for us then, having retained and having maintained that joy, to be either the people that did not believe despite the signs, or to be ourselves Isaiah the prophet, who saw and therefore believed God's glory. May the Lord enlighten our hearts so that we may maintain our joy in Him and through Him. To Him be glory now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.